Little Zach. Can you believe that was the name that most of my family wanted me to have? In my day, you were named after your father. So my name was to be Zechariah, son of Zechariah, of the Levite tribe, a priest in the temple, just like my dad. Oh no, but my mom stood firm with the family and she called me John. Most of you guys know that my dad couldn't speak at the time. John, though that was the name that the angel Gabriel told my parents to give me. John the Baptist, as you know me now. I'm not exactly what you expected, am I? No, I hear stories about people saying about me wearing the animal skins and eating honey and locusts and making me out to be a cross between a caveman and a hermit. Well, I do live in the wild, but intentionally apart from the influence of the Roman Empire. But I'm not wild. I just don't want to give in to the power of Rome like I've seen so many other people do. I mean, I was raised to be faithful. I mean, I'm not a miracle baby born to be a prophet, although that's what my mom and dad told me time and time and time again when I was growing up. When I was a kid, my parents read the holy words, read God's book every day. And I learned the words of the Torah, learned God's word. But then I started watching Jewish leaders begin to surrender the holiness, the justice living, to just to pacify the powers of Rome. I mean, I had a front row seat because my dad's role in the temple. I read the words. I read God's words about justice and holiness. And then I watched as Pharisees and leaders traded out the instructions of God that didn't fit their new lifestyle of the Roman money and the influence. I didn't set out to be a prophet. I shared what God's word said. I just shared what I saw around me. And then strange things started happening, the things that I couldn't explain. Wisdom came to me of which I didn't learn. Words started creeping in my head that didn't start in my brain. The instructions of God invites us to give our whole lives to Him. And they call again and again and again for us to go back to God when we've turned Him away. I mean, that's the invitation. That invitation is always there. And that's what I wanted people to know. I wanted them to know that we had thrown our lot in with the Roman Empire and left God behind. But we didn't have to continue our lives as an afterthought. So I invited them. I invited them to the Jordan River, to bathe in the water and be cleansed with the forgiveness of sin and to renew our hearts with God. And they came. Oh, boy, lots of people came. Lots and lots of people came. Some people said that it seemed like everyone from Judea and the countryside was there. And all these people knew things weren't right. I mean, they knew. And they'd ask me, what can we do? And I told them, if you have two shirts, give one to the man who has none. And if you have food, do the same. Tax collectors would come up to me. What can we do? And I shared with them, don't collect more money than what you're supposed to. Soldiers would ask the same. And I would tell them, don't extort money and accuse people falsely. I told everyone, just live by God's instructions. I think I knew these words would be dangerous, probably end up with my head on the platter, but because living by God's instructions meant living at odds with the ways of Herod and all the other Jewish leaders who at the time was appeased the Roman Empire and taxed people for their lavish lifestyle and their selfish gain. There was that, and with more and more people following me, I became a threat. In fact, there was some people would say, "Are you Elijah?" And trust me, I was flattered, but I am not a prophet, and I am not performing miracles here. I am just sharing God's word. And others would say, "Oh, you're the Messiah." Again, no. I've heard stories of the Messiah when I was young, and I know the time is near. And when the Messiah does come, I will not be worthy to tie his sandals. In fact, I'd often quote the prophet Isaiah because his words were exactly what God was telling me to do. A voice of one calling in the wilderness, "Prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight paths for him." Prepare the way for the Lord. You know, hope is a strange thing. You know, some people think that hope is only something that some people have and others don't. But no, hope isn't passive. Like it's just going to show up one day. No, hope is active. Hope is a way of living. Hope is living with the expectation that God is going to come down and make things right at the moment when things don't feel right. Hope is standing up and living for justice and living for what is right, even while some are living with persecuted and being ridiculed. Hope is preparing the way for the Lord because we know the Lord is going to show up. That's why people wanted to be baptized. They wanted to know that there was a way to a different future other than the oppression and the division offered up by the Roman Empire and by the leaders who have sold their faith to that empire. They wanted to know other things. They wanted to know that there was something that they could do. And there was. They wanted hope. So I told them there was something to do. Prepare the way. I would baptize them with water, a sign from the Torah of cleansing, of being forgiven of their sins. And once cleansed, that they could live again with hope. That when the Messiah comes, their heart is right with God and they would recognize him. And I told them that when the Messiah comes, he will baptize with the Holy Spirit. Prepare the way, I told them. Focus on what's right, on God, on caring for others, on justice. Because the Messiah will come.
Followers of Jesus hold on to hope. John the Baptist, right? He brought hope into the world by preparing the way of Jesus. You see, hope isn't just something that's passive. Hope isn't just something we wait for. Hope is active. Hope is something we claim. Hope is something that we live. We live lives that bring hope to ourselves and to the world by living each day, every moment, open for Jesus to come into our lives and bring peace and possibility and love. We're invited to claim hope as our way of life. Would you pray with me? God, it can be so hard to hold on to hope in times that are difficult and dark, and when we can't necessarily see you and we can't see the light in the world. It's particularly at these moments, God, when we pause like this and we give thanks that you sent Jesus Christ to show us the way. So God, as we look out in the world and we see the hungry who just hope for something to eat, something to be on their tables each day. And we see the homeless and the hurting who just hope to be loved and recognized. When we see the persecuted here and around the world who just hope for justice, equality. Remind us, Lord, that in Jesus you invite us to be that hope. And as your church, Lord, help us to offer this gift to the world. Lord, as we hear these words from John the Baptist today, help us to prepare the way of Jesus by turning back to you, giving our whole lives to you, and then letting your love transform us and transform the world around us this day and every day. Amen. Each week at Clay Church, we share our Clay Covenant. And it's this opportunity not just to let words be words, but to live them. Not just to let hope be something we talk about, but something that we live. So let me invite you now to join me in these words of our Clay Covenant, our promise to God. Join me in the words that you'll see on the screen. I will pursue the faithful life, reaching up to God each day, reaching out to serve someone this week, and reaching one more person with the love of God.